devotees, how are you today? Apkitabyat KCA, Kim Chung, and so on. Good. Very good. So, last night, we were talking mainly about Lord Krishna, and particularly how Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, well, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all the different avatars, expansions of the Lord, all the other forms of the Supreme Lord are coming. They are technically called Vishnu Tattva, which basically means those persons who are in the category of Vishnu or the Supreme Lord, whereas we are called Jiva Tattva, which means we are the minute living entities who've also expanded from Krishna, but we're not in the same category, not the same type as Krishna and those who are in the same tattva. We use this term tattva, the same tattva as Krishna. So we are different tattva, different type or tattva. Strictly speaking, means truth. We are a different type of truth, existence, different type of reality. That's us. We are little ones. We are the little ones. And Sri Sri Krishna Balarama ki. Krishna and his personal expansions, they're the big ones, the biggies, and we are the little leagues. Let me just chant a couple of prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Deja Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkapatarupyascha, Kripa Sindupya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So remember, you remember how we finished last night, that we just started to introduce Lord Balaram, having focused on Krishna and how he is the original Supreme Lord. So we just touched on Lord Balaram by mentioning how Srila Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, great associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Jiva Goswami raised the point that if you ask Krishna, who is God? Who is the supreme absolute truth? Krishna says, me. I just looked up the verse actually. And he says, when asked to describe the absolute truth, Krishna says, me. That's to the point, isn't it? Straight question, straight answer. But if you ask Lord Balaram, who is God? Who is the supreme absolute truth? Balaram says, Krishna. He doesn't say me, although he could say me, because he is Krishna's first expansion. Krishna expands into so many forms, and they're all himself. They're not other people. We may expand into other forms, you could say, by having children. So that's, you know, reproducing. And often, you know, isn't it? Often the children look something like the parents. Yeah, something like that. It's quite common. So anyway, Krishna expands into all these different forms. They're just different forms of himself. And he expands into those different forms when he gets into different moods. We mentioned last night Lord Nrisingadev. He is a form of Krishna. But he is Krishna in a particular mood, a very specific mood of extreme, like ultimate anger. And when is God the most angry he could possibly be? When his devotees are endangered, threatened, abused, then, oh, he gets the most angry. The most angry that it's possible that anyone could get. The sum total of all anger. And that is manifest, particularly when he manifests as Lord Nrisingadev. But Nrisingadev does not, at least he does not manifest many other of the Lord's qualities. Like we mentioned last night, he does not rasa dance, Lord Nrisingadev. We do not hear of Lord Nrisingadev rasa dancing. Nor do we hear of Lord Nrisingadev herding the cows, things like this. Nor do we hear of Lord Nrisingadev stealing the butter. No. But loving his devotees, or loving the devotees, so much, unlimitedly, that's there. And particularly with that sense of protecting them. These are all parts of Krishna's nature. It is not that Lord Nrisingadev is capable of becoming more angry than Krishna. No, it doesn't work like that. He has Krishna's anger. But that mood of anger, love for the devotees and anger in case of them being mistreated, etc., that is what sort of, in Lord Nrisingadev, it's separated from the other qualities, so that's basically all you see. Whereas in Lord Krishna, he has the same capabilities, but you don't see it as much because he's doing other things. He's dancing, herding the cows, and so on and so forth. He's doing other things. But Lord Nrisingadev, he's basically loving his devotees and getting angry with those who are strongly opposed to his devotees. Anyway, So Krishna expands, and different forms have different of the qualities. Some have a few, some may have one. You know, it depends. And some may have a particular quality completely. And others may have a particular quality half. So, you know, it is not just a simple little subject. It's very complex. But these are some of the basic principles. Like Lord Ram, Ramachandra, he's Krishna. He's not another person. He's Krishna. But he has, or he displays, certain particular qualities. He's very, you know, very strict in terms of moral standards and, you know, like being very virtuous and righteous and being an ideal king. Krishna was not really so worried about being a king. He would have rather gone out herding the cows than being the king. But Lord Ram has that nature to be the ideal king, Ram Rajya, and to have only one wife, Eka Patni Vrata. Krishna had 16,108 in Dwaraka. Now, none of you young men start getting any ideas from that. Because you're not Krishna at all. But Krishna expanded himself into a form, 16,108, to be with each queen 24 hours a day. Not that he spent one day with one queen, queen number one, the next day with queen number two, and the next day with queen number three, until he'd been around all 16,108. How many years is 16,108 days? Sorry? 40 plus. It's 45, it's something like that. And then he would get back to spend one day with queen number one. Not like that. So Lord Ram, he displays certain particular qualities which Krishna has too. Oh yes. But he doesn't display them so very, you know, like exclusively. Yeah. However, Lord Balaram, Krishna's first expansion, he actually has all Krishna's qualities in full. All of them in full. There are the four in Nectar of Devotion. I won't embarrass anyone by asking who has read Nectar of Devotion. Should I embarrass them? Anyway, it's okay. But there's the qualities of Krishna 64. And the last four, well, the first 60, he shares with some, you know, many of them with Lord Brahma, some more with Lord Shiva, and others up to 60 with Vishnu or Narayan. But then there are four which only Krishna has. Who can tell me, dear devotees of ISKCON, Botswana, one of the four special qualities which only Krishna has? Yes, Mataji. See, you know, I know what you mean. There are many other people who play the flute. I'm sure there are people in Gaborone who play the flute. But Krishna plays the flute in such a way that people faint. That, you know, things which are not solid, like a river, like the river Yamuna, they become hard. And then Krishna and the cowherd boys and cows just walk across the top of the river Yamuna. And things which are solid melt. If sometimes we ever do our Govardhan seminar here, we will tell you how when Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand, his right hand was free because he was only using his left hand. So he took his flute out. He was about to play on his flute. And Madhu Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend, panicked. Stop! Don't blow the flute! Don't do it! And poor Krishna, think, wow, what happened? And Madhu Mangal said, yes, when you play your flute, sometimes solid things melt. And this Govardhan Hill might melt on top of us. And that would be the end. So don't play the flute at all. I'm instructing you because I am a Brahmin and you are just a Vaishya. And Krishna said, yes, sir, and put his flute back away. So anyway, okay, so Krishna plays the flute. Oh my gosh. Okay, now one other quality. Yes, Mataji. Well, okay, you've got the idea. The thing is, the specific point is that Krishna has pastimes which are superior, drastically superior, not just 10%, but just completely in another dimension compared to the pastimes of the other avatars and expansions like Lord Ram, and particularly the Rasa dance. Yeah, because that is the supreme pastime. Okay, now gentlemen, you know these things, don't you? Who can tell me a third quality? Yes. Okay, yes. Rupa Madhurya. Exquisite, not just exquisite, but incomparable beauty, which none of the other forms of the Lord have. Expansions, avatars. Just, again, in a class of his own. When Krishna was here, sometimes people would see him and they would faint because of his beauty. Did anyone ever faint when they saw you? Anyone? Doctor? No? Not one? Maybe when they saw you coming with your needle. Anyway, okay. Maybe someone fainted with shock when they saw one of us. So, but Krishna's beauty, yeah, it's matchless. And what's the last one? Very important one, and very nice one. No. Attracts all varieties of entities. Not exactly. Krishna is surrounded by devotees, but not just surrounded by devotees, because all the forms of the Lord are surrounded by devotees. But he is surrounded by devotees who have a degree of love of God which is far higher than the love of God possessed by the devotees of other forms of himself. So that's Krishna. But Balaram also has these qualities. The only difference really between Krishna and Balaram is the color. Maybe this is the origin of racial differences. Because Krishna is blackish, not exactly blackish, but blackish blue like a new monsoon cloud. Yeah. Whereas Balaram is white. And when we say white, we don't mean like me. You know, you see, I'm not actually white. We're talking about the colors, right? The colors in the spectrum. White, we're talking about, you know, some of the gentlemen here, the clothes they're wearing, or the chairs you're sitting on. Yeah, that's white. That's white. So Balaram is actually white. Otherwise, there's no difference. He can play the flute and so on and so forth. And so, yeah. One time, the curtain's not open. It would have been nice if it was. But anyway, one time Prabhupada asked some devotees in the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, who is more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? And the devotees didn't really know what to say. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is, because Balaram is resting on him like that. And Krishna is supporting him. Yes. So, but, you know, in other words, the point is, don't worry about it, okay? Just relax and be happy worshipping Krishna and Balaram. There's a nice discussion. Well, there were these two devotees. Maybe you heard of Madhu Dvisa Prabhu. Did you hear about him? He just passed away a matter of a couple of months ago or something like that. Really nice devotee. And very dear to Srila Prabhupada. And then there was another devotee, Mother Yamuna, who also passed away a year or two ago, not so long ago, who was also an extremely nice devotee. So the two of them were having pretty much like an argument, a strong discussion, taking opposing positions. And the particular point under discussion was, are Krishna and Balaram the same or different? And Madhu Dvisa Prabhu said, they're the same. The only difference is color. But that doesn't really matter. They're the same, basically. And Mother Yamuna said, no, no, no. They're different. Because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. Interesting point. So it was going back and forth. And another very senior devotee, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who also passed away, but that was a number of years ago, and who was extremely dear to Srila Prabhupada, he took the two of them to Srila Prabhupada. And he sat them down and he explained to Prabhupada, Madhu Dvisa Prabhu says, Krishna and Balaram are the same. No difference. Just a difference in color, but it doesn't matter. No difference. Prabhupada said, he's right. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Mother Yamuna says there is a difference, because Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada said, she's right. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Prabhupada, they can't both be right. And Prabhupada said, you're right. Because Prabhupada, you know, what a person. My gosh. You know, astute to the nth degree. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Prabhupada, how can we understand what's the truth? And Prabhupada said, you decide. In other words, don't worry about it. Just relax. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because, you know, some questions, our brains can only deal with so much, even materially. And what to speak of spiritually, you know, we're not so developed spiritually. Prabhupada, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, well, I don't know if you're aware, but we can, pujaris, can pick tulsi any day except Dwadasi. Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you don't pick tulsi on Dwadasi. Any other day is fine, not on Dwadasi. So devotee asked Prabhupada, why? Why is it that Sanatana Goswami says we cannot pick tulsi on Dwadasi? Why is it? Prabhupada said, because Sanatana Goswami said so. In other words, the answer is Hare Krishna. Okay. So, but there's also a difference in mood. We mentioned that. It's a very important point that Balaram is actually in the mood of a devotee. Even though he's God, you could say no less than Krishna, except that Krishna's the origin. But other than that, he's as much God as Krishna, and he has the right to say, yes, I'm God. But he is in the mood of a devotee. He's always serving Krishna. An interesting point, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I will not ask who has, but you should if you haven't, and if you have, you should read it again. But there's a whole section there in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that generally speaking, all the expansions are in the mood of devotees. They have a mood of service to Krishna. It's a very interesting point. So Balaram is in the mood of a devotee. And he really, really, really is in the mood of a devotee. And there are descriptions of how he serves Krishna in amazing ways. He is Krishna's clothes. When we open the curtain opens in a little while. We'll see them again. And Krishna will be dressed in some nice clothes. Understand that they are forms of Balaram. He's serving Krishna by being his clothes, all different clothes. He is Krishna's ornaments, jewelry, his necklaces, bangles, etc., etc. He's all those things. He is Krishna's house. Whatever house, palace Krishna's living in, Balaram manifested himself in that shape, in that form, to serve Krishna. Nice house, and so many houses. He is Krishna's bed. Any bed of Krishna's. He is Krishna's chair or cushion. Anything Krishna sits on. These are forms of Balaram. It's incredible, actually. He is Krishna's shoes, his pillow, his umbrella. Balaram has expanded himself as Goloka Vrindavan Dham. He's expanded himself as the Vaikuntha realm. He's expanded himself as the material world. The energy behind. And Jiva Goswami says, there is practically nothing which Balaram is not to Krishna. Because he's so much desiring to please Krishna and serve Krishna. Then Balaram expands himself. You know, when you really get into it, it becomes quite fantastic. But in Goloka, there are three realms, three divisions. Gokula is in the center. That is Vrindavan. What we call Vrindavan, where Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani are. That's Gokula within Goloka. Then, on the outside edges, is Dwaraka. And Mathura is there somewhere also. These are all parts of Goloka, not part of Vaikuntha. And then there's another section which is Navadweep. Now, you know, we don't want to get into too much detail and confuse you like we may have confused some of you last night. But Balaram, so Krishna expands as Balaram. Then from Balaram come the other expansions. All the other expansions come from Balaram. It's part of his service. And he expands in Dwaraka as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And then from Sankarshan, to cut an extremely long story, extremely short, from that Sankarshan come all the Vaikuntha deities. All of them from Sankarshan, including another Sankarshan. Sorry if we're confusing you. From the other, second Sankarshan, who's called Mahasankarshan, and who lives in Vaikuntha, comes Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, presiding over the material realm. And then Gavadakshaya Vishnu comes from him, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu within our hearts and within every atom. So, Balaram, to serve Krishna, what a devotee. Then Balaram expands in all the rasas. What do you think of that? He himself is in the friendly rasa, Sakya Ras, and the parental Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, because he's the older brother. And older brother means parental mood, mixed with friendly mood. And he expands, would you believe it, in the conjugal Rasa, Hare Krishna. And who is Balaram in the conjugal rasa means as a gopi. Who? Sorry? Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, is a form of Lord Balaram. So therefore Jiva Goswami says, there is hardly anything which Balaram is not as a service to Krishna. In other words, Balaram is what we sometimes call a big devotee. Big devotee. Prabhupada was being driven to a Rath Yatra once in, I think it must have been New York. And he asked the driver, who of the senior devotees are here for the Rath Yatra? And the driver said, well, this Swami and that Goswami and another one. Oops. Hare Krishna. Are you not hearing me? Were you hearing me? Okay. It's just this one, when I speak like Prabhupada, the P. See? It needs more protection. Sri Sri Krishna Balarama ki. So devotee was explaining this sannyasi and that swami and this GBC and in all this, a whole list of the most senior devotees, disciples of Prabhupada. And he gave out the list, he read out the list, and he said, all the big devotees, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, I am the only big devotee. Which is really true. Right. And even, I've probably mentioned here before, that you see a picture of Krishna sometimes, baby Krishna, lying on a banyan leaf, sucking one of his big toes, and the banyan leaf is floating on some water. So Jiva Goswami talks about this, where he's talking about Balaram. And Jiva Goswami says that there was Krishna sucking one of his toes, floating along on the banyan leaf, and devotee came and asked Krishna, why are you sucking your toe? Good question. Why are you sucking your toe? And Krishna said, because all my devotees, so many of them say that my lotus feet are very sweet. And I wanted to see for myself. And so I'm sucking my toe. And I can say that it's true. My lotus feet are very sweet. And so Krishna then floated away on the banyan leaf, continuing to suck his toe. And Jiva Goswami says, the banyan leaf, that banyan leaf is Lord Balaram. Yeah. Very astonishing personality. Who? He is, he is God, he is Krishna. But he understands and accepts that being a devotee is better than being God. Prabhupada would say about the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, who say that, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, this sort of idea. Yes. Prabhupada said, that Krishna consciousness is better because you can become better than God. Yes. Mother Yashoda tells Krishna, you stop that, Krishna, and Krishna stops. Yeah. She can chastise Krishna and Krishna accepts it. Her position is higher. So you can become greater than God, in a manner of speaking, of course, in terms of the intimate relationship. So, Balaram, he is completely into this. You see devotees who've really understood that the best thing in life is just to serve. And it doesn't matter if I'm the president, the pot washer, whatever. Just doesn't matter. But the thing is, I must serve. In whatever capacity Krishna wants or the devotees want, I must just serve. So the thing is, Balaram has got this idea very, very deeply, extremely deeply, that I am the servant of Krishna and it is the best position. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you may have read, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how when Lord Krishna went back to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, having completed his pastimes here 5,000 years ago, so Lord Krishna, now he's back there in Goloka Vrindavan, and he was remembering what it was like to be here. And Krishna was thinking that, oh, it was so nice, I was so happy. So many wonderful devotees were serving me in so many wonderful ways, and I was just relishing being served so nicely. I was so happy being served by these best of devotees. So Krishna's thinking about this. And then suddenly an idea struck Krishna, a realization that, wait a minute, I was so happy being served by the devotees, but it seems to me, now I think about it, they were happier serving me than I was happy being served by them. And Krishna just went into a deep contemplation on this subject. And he thought of some particular devotee, whoever it may be. And he thought, yes, this devotee was 50% happier than me. That's quite a bit, isn't it? 50% happier. Sure. Just imagine if you're working, you get paid X amount of money, and then they give you a 50% increase. Oh, you'll be happy, won't you? Generally. And Krishna thought, wow, that's amazing. 50% more than me. Then he thought of another devotee, and he realized, wow, that devotee was twice as happy as me. Oh, amazing. Then another devotee. That devotee was five times happier than me through serving me. Wow, that's incredible. Then Krishna thought of another devotee. This devotee was 10 times happier. It's getting, you know, way into some almost inconceivable area of happiness. However, that was just the beginning. Then another devotee was 100 times happier. And another devotee, Krishna was thinking, was 1,000 times happier. And it's not just some, you know, colorful words, but actually it was like that. And then Krishna started thinking about the gopis. Some gopi was 1,000,000 times happier through serving him than he was through being served by her. And then another gopi was 10 million times. Another gopi was 1,000,000,000 times. And finally, Srimati Radharani was 10 trillion times. And by that time, Krishna's head was spinning completely. And Krishna decided, that's it. I've had enough of being God. I want to be a devotee. And then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Yes. So, Hare Krishna. But, Balaram, he understood that long time ago. Krishna only understood that 500 or 600 years ago. Balaram got this way back in the past. Because Balaram's a very amazing devotee. He is described as the crest jewel of the intelligent. In the Govardhan Leela, sometime we may explain it to you elaborately in the future. But during the course of the Govardhan Leela, well, in the beginning of the Govardhan Leela, the Brijbasis took all the food they had accumulated and prepared, which was going to be offered to Lord Indra, so they could get rain from Lord Indra. But Krishna convinced them, you know, it's a very long story, but you know the basic idea. He convinced them to offer it to Govardhan Hill. So they did. And it was an amazing food offering. For 5 kilometers along the front of the hill, and coming back out from the hill 1 kilometer, every type of food preparation you can imagine, and many, many that you cannot. Even if you are the supreme connoisseur of Vaishnav, of Prasadam from Gaborone, there must be one. So what's your favorite Prasadam preparation? Just be honest, it's okay. Huh? Khichdi. Interesting choice. Prabhupada said, a poor man's meal fit for a king. Khichdi. What's yours? Paneer. Paneer and paneer. Okay. Gauranga, what's your favorite? Pizza. Okay. Well, you know what pizza is, don't you? The derivation, where it's come from. Pizza is a self-realized chapati. Oh, yes. Okay. Anyway. So whatever your favorite, khichdi. They had many varieties of khichdi. Oh, many varieties. Paneer. Many varieties of paneer. And pizzas. Like thousands of varieties of vegetarian pizzas. So anyway, they put it all out there in front of the hill. Krishna manifested a gigantic form on top of the hill, and in such a way that mystically all the Brijbasis understood, this is Krishna. Plus, they understood, this is Govardhan Hill. Mystically, somehow it just clicked. They got the idea. And they all offered their obeisances to that gigantic form, and Krishna did also. And that gigantic form of the Lord then consumed all the food, everything. You know, we won't go into the details, but just consumed everything in a very brief period. And I mean, we're talking about seconds. Everything was gone. There, you know, there are so many preparations, some of them on the hill, many in front. And afterwards, different parts of the hill became named, sort of adopted names, derived from the particular type of foodstuff that was on the top of that part of the hill, like Burfi Ridge, for example. Yes. Kitchery Heights. So the gigantic form of the Lord consumed everything in just practically like that. And then he called out for more. Anior, Anior, Anior. Ana meaning food, and or meaning more. Anior in the local dialect. What did he call out?
Anior, Anior.
You know, if he called out like you did, he probably would have starved to death. No, he called out, Anior, Anior,
Anior, Anior.
You might get an extra samosa for that. So they rushed home and grabbed whatever ingredients they had left at home, and came racing back and prepared another huge food offering, which again he consumed just like that. And then again, it was, Anior, Anior, give me more. But they had no more. Everything was finished. And they thought, we are finished. You know, we gave up the Indra Puja. That's a failure. We took up the Govardhan Puja, and it seems we've failed with that because he's not satisfied. We're finished. Then we're talking about Balaram. Balaram took one tulsi leaf, and climbed up the hill to that gigantic form on top of the hill, gave him one tulsi leaf, and he was fully satisfied, and no more Anior. So you see, the thing is, the Lord is looking for our love, and he doesn't care at all if you know, you offer something grand or something simple. Of course, you know, when it comes to cooking, or when it comes to anything really, we should try and do our best and really offer something nice to the Lord, because he deserves the best. But one way or the other, he wants our love. And our love, of course, will be shown by not being lazy and, you know, but by trying our best. Yeah. So you know the story, right, of Vidura and his wife and the bananas, and Krishna came, and the wife was just so happy that Krishna was there. She didn't notice what she was doing. All they had was bananas, peeling the bananas, throwing away the fruit, giving Krishna the skin. Krishna was so ecstatic to be with his loving devotees. He didn't notice, and he was just eating the skins. And Krishna told Vidura, these are the best bananas I've ever eaten. Now don't start thinking that we have had the wrong idea for a long time. You know, we should have been eating the banana skins. No, it was the love. So there's a lot that can be said about that, but, you know, that's the basic point. So Balaram, that was Balaram. He solved the whole problem. Nobody else, including Krishna, could figure out what to do. Oh, no. But then the Govardhan Leela, Govardhan Pooj, became a success. There's a very nice, it's a little subtle, talking about Balaram's intelligence in the mood of a devotee. There's a very beautiful story, actually, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is another one of the books you should read, that there are two parts in the book. The second part, they're about two different, completely different devotees. Second part's about a devotee called Gopakumar, young cowherd boy. And Gopakumar, step by step, goes back to God, to Goloka Vrindavan. You know, it's a very long story, but in the end he arrives in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's not sure, where am I? Could I be in Goloka? Is it possible? So he asked. There was a house there, and there was one old man passing by. He asked him, whose house is that? And the old man said, ah, that is the house of Nanda Maharaj. And then he understood, I've actually arrived in Goloka Vrindavan. Don't forget, that house is a form of Balaram too. So now Gopakumar is waiting. It's the sort of late-ish afternoon. Where's Krishna? And he asks some people, where's Krishna? They say, oh, he's out herding the cows, but they're on the way back. You can see the dust cloud from the hooves of the cows. It is moving this way. They're coming. So Gopakumar was so happy. I'm going to meet Krishna. I'm actually going to meet Krishna. And all the people from the village started coming out to greet Krishna. And the cloud of dust is coming closer. And then he saw Krishna. He saw Krishna in the front. And he's just overwhelmed. And then Krishna saw him, Gopakumar, who just came back from the material world. And Krishna became overwhelmed. They ran and met in the middle, a little separate from either the cowherd boys and the cows and the other village people. So they met and they embraced and embraced and embraced as the others are now coming closer. Shishi Krishna Balaram ki. So the others are now approaching and they're still embracing, and Krishna fainted. He's just so overwhelmed. He was asking him, where have you been? I haven't seen you for such a long time. Don't tell me you were in Gaborone. So Krishna just fainted. And there's Gopakumar standing there. Krishna's right on his feet, fainted. And everybody else arrives. And they see, there's Krishna, you know, practically lifeless. And they start asking each other, what happened to Krishna? Oh, I don't know. What happened to Krishna? Oh, I don't know. And then, who's he? Gopakumar. Because they, you know, they never, haven't, he's been away for a long time. And they asked each other, who's he? I don't know. Who is he? Who's he? And someone said, I think he may be a servant of Kamsa. In other words, he's come to kill Krishna, and there's Krishna, apparently lifeless. So everyone looks at Gopakumar. Oh, maybe he's a servant of Kamsa. And they start closing in on Gopakumar to kill him, because it's just too much. Maybe he killed Krishna. And Gopakumar goes from extreme ecstasy, I'm back in Goloka Vrindavan, to extreme devastation. Have I killed Krishna? But then Balaram intervened. And Balaram knelt down. He took Gopakumar's hand, pulled him down onto the ground, made him sit cross-legged, put Krishna's head on Gopakumar's lap, took Gopakumar's hand, and got him to stroke Krishna's head, until Gopakumar got the idea, and now he's stroking Krishna's head. And suddenly Krishna became conscious again. And everyone was like, wow, Krishna's alive. Who saved Krishna? Who saved Krishna's life? And someone said, it was him, meaning Gopakumar. And now Gopakumar is everyone's hero. He saved the life of our Krishna. How wonderful. As I said, it's a little subtle, but this is the intelligence of Balaram as a devotee. He could bring together the devotees even when there's some, you know, some real difficulties. So, what to do now? Let us close, because our time is pretty much up, by setting the scene for the discussion tomorrow a little bit, by reading a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela chapter 5, verse 150. Ramira charitra sabha dukera karana swatantra lilaya dukha sahena lakshmana. This is about Ram and Lakshman. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman, of his own accord, tolerated the suffering. Well, I'll read two verses. Nishedha karite nare yate chotabai monadari rahe Lakshman mane dukha pai. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. Why am I the younger brother? This older brother of mine, means Ram, he makes all these decisions. Shoo. And they are not good decisions. But what can I do? I'm the younger brother. But you can guarantee, if I was the older brother, these things would never happen. We'll continue from this point tomorrow. Because Balaram's the older brother. But Lakshman, Balaram is Lakshman. Lakshman is Balaram. He's the younger brother. Ha, ha, ha. So, tune in tomorrow evening. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Hare Krishna. Aapko prasad chahiye. Is that